This is the discussion group. We have a call every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. The conversations, the statements provided by anyone are what the person speaking believes, not necessarily the feelings of the NLA. We just kind of discuss everything we want to discuss here. It's free to anyone who comes. You just use the Monday night call room, and anyone is free to come in and join on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We don't have a set topic, and everyone is welcome to join in. And my name is Terry. I'll be conducting this meeting, and anybody that wants to talk and have the floor, please go ahead. And hi, Roseanne. I saw you in there.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Did you hear me before?
Maybe. I wasn't sure.
Well, I don't know either, but all I said was hi. I was not surprised that you would see me in there. I would have assumed that was your job. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome to take the floor and tell us what you think.
I wasn't interested in talking. I was responding to you.
You betcha. Thank you.
Okay.
No problem whatsoever. I started the stopwatch. If I don't hear anything in a minute, then you'll be blessed with whatever I want to talk about, which is very dangerous. You don't want to leave it up to them. So please, somebody jump in. Give us a topic.
Anybody reading any news lately? It's a fairly firm rumor that the actual military tribunal started on the 2nd of January. And they're ongoing, and they will, the information from them will not be released to the fake news media, and none of the national news will get any information. Only those internet news services who have been disconnected, a number of them, they will get all of the output. That way we will get the straight information rather than have this slant fake news network on it. And when there are videos available, which I understand there will be in some cases, they will be put out on the internet news as well. Pays to keep close track on this stuff anymore because there's all sorts of things happening in terms of these. I heard the other day that 70-some aircraft had left the States for Guantanamo. That's a lot of people leaving the country. And they have two huge prison ships. I think one of them anyway has moved down to Gitmo. I don't know if they're to contain people after or they're taking them here or there. Anyway, food for thought. Somebody can think on it and come up with something here.
And they're already planning.
Why not?
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I'm kidding.
They're already planning to what to do and how they're gonna conduct a confirmation of a Supreme Court justice and who they're gonna nominate if Ruth Bader Ginsburg doesn't return.
It sounds like she's not gonna.
Well, she's been gone what, 3 days now? And she hadn't missed a
she didn't show up for the hearing.
So what?
I say she didn't show up for the session of the Supreme Court.
No,
that's
she didn't.
The first time that's ever happened since she took over. And there's a rumor going around. They found a notebook which had almost all the pedophile information needed to incarcerate everybody involved. That's being used now, setting up to prosecute people with it. Can't be too soon, as far as I'm concerned.
For sure.
Hello,
Roseanne. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Didn't you hear my question? I'm trying to get used to a new phone. Okay, I wanted to know about the tribunal. I saw some online, and I don't remember how I got there, but it was an accident. That was pretty neat. Did the man that was talking about that, could I just type in, or anyone else, could I just type in about tribunal or to get there? I didn't quite understand what you said.
It's still a rumor at this point. That
well, there was things on but
I couldn't hear that.
Of having the actual. Is that what you mean? Is the rumor?
Well, nobody knows that they're actually having tribunals beyond Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. For sure.
Well, there was a lot. You saw this stuff online, probably.
Yeah, and, you know, Q is saying there's going to be tribunals. And all the stuff is there lined up. And it could be starting, but there's nothing, you know, they're not going to tell the media. So, are they happening? Probably. Is the media going to latch on to that? No.
I don't know, but there's comments that said, just like what you said, that I'm tired of this. Are they not? Are you guys getting feedback from me?
Are we getting what?
Feedback.
Oh, that's probably me.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that help? Let me mute myself, see if it goes away.
One of the interesting things I ran across was that they claim that guess who is running the tribunals? They have Mr. Sessions, who retired from his post. They have Mr. Mattis. I believe the other one is Kelly. All three of them are tribunals now. That's why they stepped aside. Their job there was done. They needed to move on to the other side now.
All three of them they're all on the other side?
Yep. They're all working on the tribunals now, from what I've read.
Well, that's a heck of a deal.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Huh. Boy. I said on that one call, I think this town has taken over. And I don't know. I keep making a lot of scenes. I just, wow. They're spraying like crazy out here today. And our internet went down for, I don't know how long. But it's Next Tech, I think, is my phone. But they're spraying like crazy out here, and I wondered, they were spraying in the daytime today. And before that, they were spraying mostly at night, and you'd wake up in the morning, and you knew they'd been there with the chem spraying and strange clouds. That's why I put that Ilana Freeland, I put it on the comment, I think, in LA comment page. I'm sorry, I'm just learning about all this stuff. I didn't even pay any attention to globalism until they used the court like a globalist tank against me, and I don't even know what happened. So it's just like, this is, I think that's right, what I'm saying, you know. It's hard to know since they just stonewall. And Deborah Tavares has a tape on about town meetings and how they let 3 minutes in like they do here. Okay, you had your 3 minutes and talked and sit down and shut up. And that's what they do here. So you're probably all familiar with that, but that's been quite a deal of calling it freedom of speech, and they never hear it any. It looks like the tribunals are the same thing again. Who's running them? Who runs them? Is Mattis and Kelly and Sessions, or who are they? The deep state?
Military. They're military.
The military? When the military do the chemtrails, or do we know that yet for sure? They say everybody does the chemtrails.
They say it's a branch of the military that's supporting it. They haven't quite got it shut off. Mm-hmm. I read some stuff the other day that said that they were about ready to push them down, and they were making headway, and they get beyond a certain point where they have control of them. They see another plane fly over and start dumping their free fire. They'll go after them, shoot them down. And I'm just waiting for that to happen. I've been hoping for that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Where do they make this stuff, put it together, the chemtrail spray?
I'm not sure who manufactures it, but there's a ton of it made, and it's all shipped. They claim it flies out of one airport, and I don't remember which one it was.
Okay. They have military intelligence had place in Leavenworth, Kansas, and I know people there that think they have been under surveillance with helicopters and things. But you just don't know how to know what's... They probably are right. If Kansas City were the airport, I think one way to stop it would be go and stop it on the ground. So, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm just about talking too much. But Ilana Freeland, that book Under an Ionized Sky is really good, and I'll be quiet after this probably, but excuse me, but she was giving a lecture to a very nice ladies group in California about Under an Ionized Sky, and I sent that video out because I think it might wake up some people that are in the arts and country club here, because that's the kind of people they seem to be that were hosting the meeting. They act like you're your rabid dog when you talk about it. I'm not. I might be a dog, but I'm not rabid. I don't. Or maybe it's the other way around. Anyway, Alana Freeland, Geoengineering, California, and it was November the 2nd, 2018, if anyone's interested.
Gone silent.
I put bumper stickers on my truck. I made them out of white contact paper and got magic marker permanent. I can say anything. They don't bother me. I mean, I'm allowed to say anything, but they're just not allowed to pay any attention to it. So the establishment, the judge, and those people. So I have corrupt court, corrupt community on my truck. Well, you can say anything that way, and practically. I don't have to have them made for me, and that's just more of the same stuff. Seems like same conform. I also made a Trump bumper sticker. If anybody can, I bother, but I read that about again. I heard again about that broadband that was passed in. Was it this spring? Last spring in 2018, and they were talking. Who was it? Talking about that as being the rural areas being exposed more. I mean, they act like it's all a big thing, but does anyone know? I'm hearing things about farm implement stores out in the country going bankrupt or something, and then there's all the conspiracy agenda stuff that they're saying about moving, you know, moving the farmers off the land or making them, they have to do what, like use the, I heard this anyway, use the herbicides and the fertilizers and plant what they is approved in, and I don't know how true all of this is, but that seems to be what's going on. And I know also that out here, there are many roads, but it started a long time ago, but we're not in sections anymore, and that there are many roads that have been taken out. And that's gone on for a long time because there is a reduced population. But it fits right into a lot of the things that are working out now. So does anyone live on a farm or no farmers? I heard Iowa had a really good corn crop. So maybe they're doing better this year. I don't know. But a few years ago, they were selling some of the most, you know, prized land in Kansas because they were going, they had to. And some of it had been in their families for generations. Anyway.
I have a question today, for a friend of mine that's tuned in today. She's a first time listener. What should we experience? What would someone be looking to experience while in a family court?
I'm not sure I know what you mean or I understand what the question is. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So you want?
Oh, sorry. Let me try to clarify that. Okay. My friend, she's tuned in tonight, she doesn't have any experience in court, and she's a little bit nervous about how to approach the bench and present herself in court. Does anybody have any suggestions on what she might have to expect, or anybody's perception on their experience maybe in this field?
Does she have any understanding of common law?
Oh yes. She's put in a lot of study. Actually, she's on the line. If Kaylee, would you like to speak tonight? You're more than welcome to. These people are great people here.
Yeah, I've studied some common law. Can you hear me?
Yes. Well, in whatever court you, including family court, you're going to have a judge up there, and they're going to be installing themselves as the be-all, end-all authority in that courtroom. Do I have a way to speak to them? No. I'm scared to death when I walk into a courtroom. Do I know who to take it? Are you doing it tomorrow?
Am I going in tomorrow? No, I'm going in on Monday.
I'm sorry to cut in. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I can hear Kaylee fine. I'm trying to hear you fine.
How's that? Is that any better?
Yep.
Okay. I'll try and leave it there. I don't have it. Jan, do you want to say something? Because I'm not sure what to tell them. They are going to try and keep you. And Jan, jump in at any time, please. Go ahead.
I know it's all of the horror stories that I've heard.
You're really low.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Pick it up, Skype. Pick it up. Yeah, the only thing I know is the stories that I've heard, and I don't have any good stories about people going to the CPS. They just never seem to win. So what to expect? I don't be surprised if you get good results, I guess.
Yeah, have you prepared? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, because we've been in family court for, oh, what is it, 9 months now, 10 months, and we're just barely getting to merit, which is where I'm going to go up on trial. They're going to call some other witnesses.
If I'd like to interject, I'm sorry. Kaylee, they just had a competency evaluation on her, and they found her competent. This is a bit of piece of information that they need, they found you competent, that you need to let them know, so everybody knows that they found you competent. They're before you go into merits, they had ordered you to go see the doctor, and you went to go see this, and they found you competent, and now you're going before them to face them with a competent in law now. And when you go to do that, you're going to be recognized as someone that understands law, like law and law language. It's not finding you like competent when you're not just common law, but all of the law is based off of common law. Every part or every aspect, every part of it is based off of common law. But it's built up off of case beliefs and opinions of different cases of common law where we've tried to figure out that gray line between our rights and our wrongs, because that's essentially what law is based off of. Rights and wrongdoers, the ones that have to be righted, and then the wrongdoers that have to pay. And in every situation, every time we go to court, there is an execution that takes place when the prosecutor makes a claim against the defendant. That defendant gets sentenced to death, right? Unless they're found innocent, and then the other party sentenced to death. But then the other two parties, the judge and all them, the judge and the prosecutor or whoever won the case, also have a debt to pay too, because now they've conspired against somebody else. Whether they were right or wrong, you know, it's considered a conspiracy against somebody else's rights and deprivation of rights under color of law. And those are two federal codes that will be found in Title 18, Chapter 13, which are the civil rights codes of the United States at the federal level. And everything comes back down to, breaks down to, everything in the common law breaks down to treating others how you want to be treated. So, like, let's say somebody does you wrong, like a robber comes and he robs you, and you chop his hands off, but he was robbing you so he could feed his family, and you still chop his hands off so he can't, you know, now he can't do anything, you know, that way. So now if you were in the same situation and you were trying to take something from somebody that had a little more, and you get your hands, you know, would you want your hands chopped off because you had to feed your kids or something like that? It's like the same concept, you know. I'm doing it like the extreme, but back in the days, court was always a death sentence. Whether it be death by hanging, death by guillotine, you know, death by, you know, mutilation, whether they separated your body, you know, torture, there were all kinds of cruel and unusual punishments that people had to exist through the days. And with cultural differences throughout the world, and we all being in this one world together, we have to take in account for all the different cultural beliefs and all the different individual beliefs and opinions, and, you know, because no two people are going to see things exactly the same way. One man's right is another man's wrong, just like, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm just giving you a little bit of my perspective here, and my experience with family court. Even though it is based off of the common law, it is a very, very touchy subject. And the only way that I've noticed that people are able to get their kids back is if they play through the games of their roots. You know, the roots that are implemented through their games in DCF, because of all the child laws that protect them as a juvenile. If they get a hold of your kids and they do adopt them out, they will seal the case, and you will not be able to get their records, and you won't get to do anything to see them until they're 18 or decide to come and see you. And even then, you can't make them come and see you. So we got to be careful when you approach them in the courts. You got to maintain balance and within yourself. That's why we called in earlier during the meditation part of the phone call. And,
but they're not acting under the common law. They don't even act under the Constitution.
No, they don't. They don't act under the common law. It's all going to be statutory law, and
right.
They're going to be biased towards whatever public person there is in family protected, child protective services or whatever. So what is happening? Can you briefly tell us what you're dealing with?
Can you clarify what you mean by that? Like, what is happening? I told you we're going into merits at 9 months here. So, and that's usually within, I think, 30 days of children being in protective custody. You're supposed to have a merits hearing.
Well, are they taking your kids away from you? That's what it sounds like.
They have, yeah.
Okay.
They took them back 9 months ago.
So you've been without your kids for 9 months.
Correct.
Ouch. All right. Do you have a lawyer?
I have a court-appointed attorney.
Oh, yeah.
I can't afford a lawyer, and I tried to represent I had asked the judge to represent myself, and he denied it and said that I had asked for an extension to research lawyers, look into different lawyers and different options, and he said, you know, we provided you with a court-appointed attorney prior, so I'm going to deny it, and I'm going to just assign you another a court-appointed attorney, and if you want to, you know, look into different lawyers and different attorneys outside of that, that's great, that's fine. If you find one, then they can file a motion and, you know, we'll get them in. But, you know, in the meantime, no, you're not allowed to represent yourself and we're going to assign you somebody.
Well, you can write a motion and get your attorney to file it, or you can file it. I'm pretty sure that's true.
They won't let me file anything.
Oh, okay.
That's why they're only allowing me these court-appointed attorneys, because they won't do anything that I ask them to or wish them to do.
Wow.
They do that here, too. They could do something like that here, too, in Salina.
I can't hear anything you're saying, hon.
I said they do things like that here, too, in Salina, Kansas. Did you hear that? Okay.
Well, anything we can tell you? Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, a family court is an entirely different beast than any other court. so you can do that. Though it is statutory law, they're operating through statutory law. They kind of play by their own games and kind of it's just an entirely different beast than law, in my opinion.
And it's a very low standard. It's, you know, they go off at the bottom of the barrel. You know, everything's on a preponderance of evidence. So, you know, you don't have to have any sort of factual evidence. It's just whatever they say goes.
Well, anything they get written down on paper, submitted into court, it becomes true in fact. Until otherwise, like, rebutted. If you can make a rebuttal that there is no question. There is no question that, like if you're able to provide an answer, like a counter argument that there is no question about, then there's nothing they can do. But grant you that side. You flip the court, basically. All you have to do is flip the court over to your side. Once you get the court over to your side, close the case, you win. You get your kids back. You have this last chance because they just found you competent enough to be standing in court. And I looked at the paperwork myself, you know, and I'm telling you, they're going to adopt your children out. If you go in there and you have you have to be really calm. You have to get them and try to work with them. Try to work with them. Don't refuse anything you say, but make suggestions. If you don't like something, say, yeah, I'll do this, but you got to do that, or you know, you try to work with them. And you know, try to make every let's do this that way everybody can be happy with what the outcome of the situation, and that's when they will work with you. That's the only thing I can get. That's the only advice that I can give you as my experience in law and my experience with court and family, because family court is not like criminal court at all.
What did they say? What is the reason they gave for taking your children? That's awful.
I couldn't hear that. I'm sorry.
What is the reason they gave for taking your children?
I had called a resource counselor and inquired about getting information on adoption services. And they came, and literally my kids were in their high chairs eating breakfast, and they came and took them, saying that I was suicidal because I called to ask about getting information on adoption.
Adopting your kids out, or are you adopting another kid?
No, just getting information on adoption.
Or were you going to adopt another child?
No. But I didn't state either way.
Yeah, things go on. There could be... What part of the country? And can you tell me the state you're in?
Vermont.
I've heard of things like this in California. I didn't know Vermont was doing it, but Vermont's a pretty liberal state from my understanding. And what is it you're looking for from us?
I don't know. I guess just... Yeah, I guess just how to present myself, you know, maybe some things that I can do or say to prepare myself for court on Monday so I don't end up shooting myself in the foot without even knowing it, and my kids end up being adopted out. Because they once I made that phone call, they saw that as a sure bet. Well, she wants to adopt her kids out, so we're going to be able to get away with this. So they took them under the premise that they're going to adopt them out.
Well, in common law, you start a suit
as soon as you can, that basically argues that the children are yours and that you have a right to raise them. Now, how do you do that? You got to write a paper and file it. And you've got to hang in on the common law. You've got to turn the tides on them. In common law, you have to be the... golly, I'm having brain farts today. You have to be the
plaintiff.
Prosecution. I'm what?
The plaintiff.
The plaintiff. How come I couldn't figure out that one easy word? See, that proves it, Winthrop. I am getting older.
Oh, it's all right. That was all of her.
And make all of them the defendant. So that's kind of how it's done in common law, but the time to do it was 9 months ago when they took the kids. To do it over this weekend is pretty tough. It can't be done, but there's a lot of learning to do, and if you'd been learning all along, we might be able to help and guide you, but you know, we don't hand out any legal advice here. They are going to put you under statutory law. You can either cooperate or not cooperate. If you want to press the case, then you need to move it into common law, or maybe move it into a federal court, seeing as how your civil rights were violated. Something like that. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, except to turn in a paper and file it, and that's going to cost money. We've been unable to get the barrier of the court down so that they listen to us. They keep trying to throw away our cases, and we've got to have some enforcement. Am I going to be able to help you? No, I don't think I am. The best thing you can have is a lawyer who's on your side and sees that you get what you want. Have you talked to this lawyer you're going to be standing with on Monday?
You mean my court-appointed attorney?
Yes. He's the only mouthpiece you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah, yep. I talked to him today. I actually am supposed to talk to him tomorrow morning. Because we're still talking about who's going to testify.
What testimony is there?
Well, we're discussing what happened the morning that the twins were taken. They have the two police officers that were here. One was a local PD, one was a state police officer. And then the two social workers that showed up. And then they also had a crisis counselor here because they were claiming that I was having issues. And she stated, and even it's even stated in the affidavit, that there was no cause of concern for anybody, not for myself, not for my children, not for anybody, and that she would not be involuntarily admitting me to a hospital. And she was like the one positive person that had my back. And apparently she's on maternity leave right now, which I find to be very...
Do you have a copy of that affidavit?
Yes.
Does your attorney have the copy of that affidavit?
Yes.
Is he intending to file it tomorrow?
What do you mean, file it?
Well, an affidavit, that can be the sum total of a suit. There's your witness right there. She filled that affidavit, said there's nothing wrong.
I mean, it was filed in the beginning.
In this case?
To my understanding, yes.
Well, we need to find that out. You need to talk to your attorney and find out if that
was
filed.
You need to file it again and file it again and file it again.
Well, it, it, it's kind of hard to get filed again. If you can find a certified copy with, you know, the notary public and everything, that's good. But I'd be in there downloading my whole case tomorrow. I want every piece of paper that belongs to this case. You have your case number, right?
Yeah.
Have you gone down and gotten to the clerk of the court?
They won't give me anything.
Because juvenile records.
Exactly, because I have a representative.
Well, normally,
do a motion to discovery from your lawyer. I'll talk to you about this after that. We'll do a motion to discovery to your lawyer. I'll have to give you every piece of paper that they have on their file. So then you found this attorney and it needs a record to go for paperwork in hand. And
you're breaking. I would definitely agree that your attorney should be fighting this and asking for all those papers. And your attorney is entitled to them so that he can defend you. If he's not, then he's not doing his job. But you could organize something between now and then so that you file a paper stating that your rights have been violated. And you might have to move it into federal court to get them to listen. And like I say, that costs money. And they're going to want to fight you. And at this late date, I don't know what anybody can do beyond learning it, because that whole system is set up to bring you under their jurisdiction. And that's one thing you can do. You can challenge their jurisdiction. But you've got to learn how to do that. And, you know, I wouldn't go forward. And I know something about common law. But I wouldn't go forward because I would be afraid I would step all over myself at this moment. So I don't know how much I can help you.
Right, and that's what I was saying. Like, I don't want to end up shooting myself in the foot.
How favorable is your attorney to your case?
He seems like he's on my side, but, you know, he's an actor, so.
He's a what?
He's an actor.
Yeah, he is an actor. I agree. They're going to go in and they're going to do
it. I read on her paperwork that DCF's ultimate goal is to reunite the children with her.
I heard DB on ultimate her.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can there.
Okay. DCF's ultimate goal is to reunite the children with the mother.
Well, if that's true, it wouldn't be coming to this.
No, it says it in the paperwork.
What
it says, if they find her competent and she's mentally stable, come Monday, they have this competency exam and a meeting, and if she's capable of working with them, DCF will give her children back. If she refuses to work with them, they're going to adopt her children out.
So
that's what it says in their paperwork.
So if you have the paperwork, why does she not have it?
No, she has. No, that's the paperwork she's given me. I'm not her attorney. I'm just a friend of hers.
Well, it sounds like this hearing coming up isn't a court case. It's just a hearing to see if they've determined, have you done anything? Have you asked Child Protective Services, or DCS?
Oh, yeah, she's been resourceful. It's what it says in the paperwork, too. It says that she's very resourceful and very well-informed and trying to seek the services. All she needs to do is go back in there and say, yes, I want my children back. Yes, I'll work with you guys. And that's in my opinion, what she should do.
Okay. Well, I'm... What did you intend? So this hearing is just to decide whether you're going to be able to get your children back. It's not... What have you done, Miss, Mrs., whatever, what have you done to prove to DPS that you are competent to take care of your children? Have you gone to DPS and asked them, well, what do you want me to prove I was taken care of before you came?
They said that they wanted me to go to therapy, which I was doing even before they came and took my kids. I was doing, I've been in therapy throughout. They want me to be, they want to put me on medication, which I've already explained to them that it goes against my beliefs, and I've already done that. And if I do it, it will cause me harm.
Do you have an affidavit from your therapist that you're okay?
I have psyche valves from, yeah, from where I was going to my therapist, and then I have other, I do have other therapists that would do an affidavit, yes.
Well, you need to ask them for an affidavit, and it needs to be tomorrow so that they got time to type it up and get it notarized.
That is actually one of the things that my attorney and I are talking about tomorrow, because he wants me to sign a release from my old therapist.
Sign a release?
Yeah.
What does a release mean? Oh, you're talking about a release so the therapist can discuss it with the court.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, see, your therapist is hesitant because there's rules about what he can and cannot say. So you need to follow what that attorney told you and get that done tomorrow. That's a big deal. And if it looks like everybody's saying, yeah, she's fine, then maybe they'll give you your kids back. I don't know, but I think you need to follow what this attorney's telling you.
Okay.
That's, again, my opinion. I'm not there. It's not my kids. I feel for you. It's hard.
Yeah.
Did we answer your questions?
Do
you have any more?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck. Hope you get kids back. Come back and let us know next week, okay?
I will.
Okay. And we also have a Monday night call. You can talk to us in there, too. And you get...
Okay.
You get some people who really know common law very well when you go on there. I'm not very good at this yet. I'm still learning.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What was your name?
Kaylee.
Kaylee. Is that with a K or a C?
With a K.
Well, thank you, Kaylee, for coming in. Anybody else have anything?
Hey, it's Jefferson in Missouri.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let her know if she's able to, you know, like you said, talk to her lawyer and get some help from him if she can. Stall it out if she can, need more time. also the federal court is an option for she'd have to file for a pauper form, which is a form that says you don't have the money for a lawyer or that you don't have the money to file a federal case, and that's one another route she could go. She could even push the Seventh Amendment on the Bill of Rights and tell the judge she wants a trial by jury trial for her kids. You know, there's a controversy and it's costing over $20, so it's already cost her over that, I'm sure. Like you said, the family courts are a whole different monster, and they operate a lot differently from the criminal courts, although they don't follow the Constitution any more than the other courts do, so they're basically the same. They're just worse because they deal with taking people's children away and ripping families apart. And I've dealt with them in a probate case, and it was all about the money and them making backroom deals and all this. But she also should probably, if she can, come in on a Monday night call and ask John and see if John doesn't give her some really good information to use as far as paperwork might go. I yield.
I would encourage her to do that too. Come and listen to John because he knows a lot more than I do.
Okay. And that was something that I was going to say earlier as well, was that they do. They make a lot of backdoor deals. So it's not something that is necessarily on paper, and, you know, what's on paper happens and goes. Like DPS, DCF, whatever three, you know, letter acronym that they use, you know, and all their, you know, third-party constituents, you know, they're all talking to the judge, to the courts. You know, they all work with them, you know, day in and day out. So it's not necessarily all in the paper trail. Like, they have these side conversations constantly going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do. And tell your lawyer you want a trial by jury, and see how dumbfounded your lawyer looks at you. They won't even know what you're talking about.
No, I know. I've already talked to them about that, and they said, yeah, exactly. That's not – they don't do that in this court.
Yeah, they do. They do that at every court. I'm sorry. I know what you're going through. I've been there.
Not the DFS,
but like I said, probate, and I've dealt with these guys, and it's just you have to have the right paperwork. You have to be educated enough to flip the tables on them, just like we were saying. And the federal court is the place to go do that. So if you would, like I said, call your federal court and ask for a pauper's form. And that's what you fill out when you don't have the money for it, to pay for the court. Because remember, the courts aren't there to be charged. You're not supposed to pay for justice. It's not for sale or denial. So, you know, we can go prove all this to them if they'd like. We don't need to. They need to understand that we know what the Constitution is, and we're asking for a trial by jury in an Article III court of record. And if you can't give me that, I'm not going to come back to your court. I'm just going to file a federal case, and I'll have it stopped. I'll have this stopped. So that's all I can really tell you without, you know, knowing a lot more about it. And I'm not – I would – if you were in a criminal case, I could probably give you a lot more information. But these guys are a little bit different, and they're a little more tricky, and they're a little more snaky and slimy and all that. So be very careful and stall out. Stall out if you can. Stall out and give yourself some time so you can find out what your options are. But you need to ask John on the Monday night call, and he will give you a very detailed answer, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, one thing that the evaluator had asked me and made very sure clear that I knew during the evaluation was that he asked me if a trial by jury was allowed in family court, and he made sure that I knew that it was not. That was not an option. It wasn't something that happened at all. So. Because it is something that I have mentioned prior to my attorney and somebody else, I can't remember. Maybe it was my prior attorney today.
You can ask him why the Seventh Amendment, what the Seventh Amendment says.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, even I had this gentleman helping me out for a minute, and John, his name was John as well, and I was going in to meet with my attorney and sign some releases for these, for the, I can't even think of the people on trial, witnesses, there we go, sorry. And he was telling me to, you know, cross out signature, write autograph, and, you know, sign or autograph my name, and then write, what was it, UCC-1150 under threatened duress?
UCC or USC?
Maybe it was USC. I can't remember off of the top of my head.
Yeah,
but as
you're
soon
under
as
duress.
I, yeah, under threatened duress. Whenever, when I mentioned that to my attorney, he flipped the fuck out on me. He slammed his case, his suitcase, and he said, "We're done here. I'm not doing this." And he's like, "Who is this guy? Who's this guy on the phone?" Because I called him up, and I had him there talking with him. And he was like, you know, he talked to him for a second, told him who he was. And then I ended up having to get off the phone, and the first thing he said was like, "Who is this guy? What is he, a constitutionalist?" And I'm thinking,
yeah, that, see,
isn't that what you're supposed to be?
Yeah, that scares your lawyer very, very much, and it should. He should be scared, because when the Constitution's at work, he's basically out of a job, because we don't need him. We
right.
do not need him. But you do need him in your situation right now. Just, like I said, stall, do what you can, talk to John Monday, and he may give you some stuff you can really work on quickly. Like he said, go get your affidavit from your therapist and get that cleared up and get that in on your side, and do the little things right now. Don't get so stressed about, you know, appearing in front of this judge or whoever it is, because they're not wanting to give you your due process, and that is a problem, and that is something for the federal court to hear. You know, so the federal court is definitely maybe in your future. So start doing your homework. Get on the NLA site and start taking the courses. I'm thinking you're going to be amazed at the things you'll learn and how you can defeat these people, because they're evil. They're not who they claim they are. We know this. You know this. You already know. You've been involved long enough to understand. But most people don't get this until they've been affected at this level or worse. Like the NLA itself is the walking wounded of the United States. There is many, many victims. Almost everyone's a victim in the NLA. So victim, when I say victim, I say victim of these courts and of this treacherous admiralty star chamber that they want to put you in, and when they want to cut backroom deals, and, you know, this is disgusting. This is absolutely disgusting stuff. And, yeah, your lawyer flipped out. He doesn't want anybody to intervene, but you should also go ahead and just tell him you want somebody else. You're not going to work with this person because they're not going to give you effective counsel, and they're not going to, because he jumped, like you mentioned, about talking about the Constitution. See, he didn't like that because he knows that the guy that told you that was right. He did know that, and they get very defensive. They get very defensive very quickly, and like I said, they should, because they can't stand up to any of the things that we bring to them, because number one, they weren't taught any of this in law school. They don't even understand what the supremacy clause is in the Constitution. They have no idea. This is how ignorant these guys are. They don't know the very fundamental basics of law. Neither does the sheriff, neither does the police chief, neither does any of the deputies or anybody else that comes to arrest people. They don't know what law is either, but do they care? They don't care either. They're there to make money. They're there to generate that revenue for the city and the county.
Glorified tax collector.
And I'm sorry, you know, but I'm going off on a rant, but I feel your pain. I know what it's like. And when people when people are accused of things they didn't do or falsely imprisoned or incarcerated or charged or whatever it is, it's just the worst possible thing that could happen to people. That's why our grand juries are so important, to get them back where they are supposed to be under the Article III courts. Because those people that are in these grand juries now, they're manipulated by the prosecutors, by the judges, by the lawyers, by everybody except them actually thinking on an individual basis and saying, with the evidence presented before me and the law, is this guy guilty? Is there enough evidence to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt? Remember, if you don't go beyond a shadow of a doubt, then everybody's guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for a jurist to also be persuaded or feel pressured to rule in a certain way as not to go against the group think or the group, you know, in general. Because they don't want to be the one to make a wave, right? Well, that could be the difference between somebody getting death penalty and serving life in prison. See, just one juror saying, no, I'm not going to do this. See, mm-hmm. But you need a jury trial. Trial by jury is what you need, a trial by jury. And if they don't want to do that, say, I don't want to be in your court. I'm going to go over your head. I'm going to go to a federal court, and I'm going to beat you guys. So, you know, just to keep it under your hat and keep your cool and don't play into their games and don't bite in, because they will tempt you, I'm sure. And they will try to get you to stick your foot in your mouth immediately in that courtroom. Avoid it as much as you can at this point till you get enough advice and enough people backing you up. You also need courtroom observers maybe to come, if you can find some in your state, to help you out with this.
They won't let anyone in.
Okay, they won't even allow the court to be open. There's your that your due process is being trampled on.
Mm-hmm. I'm being railroaded
from minute one. So the federal court is your place. Where you're at now is no place for you. The federal court is where you go up in front of the panel of three judges. You need to tell them exactly how you're violated. And I guarantee it, they're going to rule in your favor.
Okay.
So, I know it's a lot to take in, and it's overwhelming, and you're under a lot of stress, but it'll come to you just piece by piece, okay?
Okay.
And just think positive, and don't jump into anything, and definitely talk to John and ask, and write down the questions you want to ask John, the very important questions that you want to ask him, and he's going to give you the answers that you're looking for on Monday night.
Is it John McCrone?
John will be on the Monday night call. And you'll be able to get into the queue, and you'll be able to ask your question then, and he will answer your call.
Okay, but is it John McCrone? Do you mind?
No, John DeRash.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know if it was John
McCrone. Okay. Or Gerard. If John's not around, you may even be talk to Brent Winters. He may be able to give you some advice or some tips as well. Who knows? But you may come out with some really good stuff off the Monday night call, and that's really the only place I could really tell you to get information this quickly. Because otherwise, you know, you're like the rest of us. A lot of us have been studying this for years and years and years. And but, you know, each court and each state's different. So, and when they don't follow the Constitution, it's a real mind, you know, mess to be dealing with. So. Just hang in there. Just stay positive, okay? Don't let them get to you. And when get a different lawyer. I'm going to tell you to do that, because you need to do that. When your lawyer got triggered like that, that's a for sure sign that they're going to fail you and they're not going to be effective. And you need to test the next lawyer if they bring another one and stall out. So you got to have a different lawyer. I need time. And as soon as they point another one, you test them with the same thing. If this lawyer freaks out, you say the same thing, and then you just keep going and going until you get your federal case going. You get that federal case in, and you'll have action started, and you ask for a cease and desist at that point, and they got to leave you alone. So
that's what I should do then on for Monday, is to recuse him or fire him, essentially?
Well, yeah. Tell him his services are no longer needed. You're not going to have somebody that won't follow the Constitution. And I'd let him know that so he can understand. I'm sure he'll get it, but he'll know why you're getting rid of him, I'm sure.
Okay.
And it's not going to bother him. He doesn't care. So he'll just be on to the next place he can make a dollar and pay for his new Mercedes. That's all he's worried about. You know,
yeah,
he's got those big white shiny sharp teeth. You know, they're there for a reason. He's going to take a bite out of your ass if you let him.
Yeah. Yep.
And like I said, that's why we have federal courts. And you know the old saying, "Don't make a federal case out of it. Do make a federal case out of it." Especially if you can bypass the fee of $400 with a popper's form. Now definitely ask for that. And you have to fill out the form, and I think all the states have them. They should, if not, because otherwise they would be breaking, the code that justice is not for sale.
Yeah. Is that something I can do online? I can find online?
Yeah, you may be able to. Are you close to a federal district court? Do you have one in your state or two?
Yeah.
Do you know where those are located?
I think there's one down in White River, which is about a 30-minute drive from me.
Okay, so you're close to a federal court. Okay,
I should have enough
good.
Gas. I have enough money to get down there and gas, but I literally have like $7 to my name.
Okay, well, why don't you make a call over there first, or get online and see if you can't look up your state's federal courthouses, and then do a search for Popper's form.
Okay.
P-A-U-P-E-R-S, Popperus. That's the Latin, but it's a Popper's form, and they'll know what that is. So it's there for us to use, and when people don't have the money, like I don't have the money to do it either, I need to do the same thing up in a federal court. It's just mine's taking a little bit longer to get all my ducks in a row, but I'm not going to pay for justice either. I've already paid a lot. And justice, I was denied justice. I was brutally violated. So it's important for us to take it to the next level. I've learned over all these years that it's so aggravating to call a state, office or a DMV or whatever it might be. It's just or a sheriff's office, and these people don't, half the time they're incompetent and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know law. And very few of them know law. There's a few that know a little bit, but most of them don't know anything. So you just find that person and you say, well, they're not going to be my ally, and you just drop them to the wind, and then you go up above their heads and you keep going until you find the right person, and soon enough you'll find an ally that's going to help you along with this. And the NLA's got a lot of information. If you go through the documents and the stuff in there, there's probably something you could go through in there tonight and get and just emulate it and just, send it in and just see what they do. Put it to the clerk and say, here, I'm filing this paperwork into my case, right? I don't know why you couldn't file paperwork into your own case. That sounds ridiculous. If the judge is trying to say, what, you can't come into my courtroom without a lawyer? Who is this freak? This is blasphemy, treacherous, treasonous stuff that he's talking, spewing out of his mouth, or her, whoever it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But they're treasonous, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take very long to commit treason in an open court when you don't follow the Constitution. But I'm saying also the courtroom observers may really, really be able to help you out in this case too. So if you know how to get a hold of them, I'm not sure of the number there, but it's on the site. So there's another avenue, some other people you might be able to talk to as well.
Okay, I think we've got a pretty long recording. We need to wrap up.
Okay, sorry, guys. I got on a rant.
That happens. I understand.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Kaylee. Come in anytime.
Thank you.
I wish we could help you more, but I think Monday night call would help you a lot. Okay. And I'm going to close the call. This has been the discussion group. My name is Terry, and everyone here had their own opinions. NLA doesn't endorse or not endorse any of them. It's just their opinions, and that's all it was. And we don't hand out advice, legal advice, but we do try and help people to understand the process. we are thankful that everyone's here and that everyone that participated, and we hope you come back next Thursday. And we'll see you later. The meeting is now closed.